Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Mediator. God is holy and cannot have fellowship with sinful men. But Jesus is both righteous man and holy God. And through him, we have direct access to God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Blessed assurance.
All right, let's go talk about the book we all read.
Books, you know they're dangerous.
Take a look, it's in a book.
So many books, so little time.
Sorry. What book are we talking about that opening? So long, I kind of forgot. This is Wretched Radio. Do you struggle with assurance? And if you say, no, Todd, not really, I can assure you, oops, see what I did there. You know somebody who wrestles with assurance. It is my experience, for whatever that's worth, that assurance is one of the most common maladies that affect Christians. Good Christians. People who are genuinely saved, they have something inside of them that says, are you sure? And it is painful, and they hate it, but it's their besetting issue. I don't want to necessarily call it a sin. It could be, if you are doubting God, you're not trusting his promises, there could be sin behind it. There could be pride behind it. But there are other reasons people lack assurance. They simply aren't rightly appropriating promises. They're maybe not hearing preaching that soars with the goodness of God and assures them that they are his and that this Savior really did live. He really did die. He really was buried. He really rose again. And they simply lack confidence. And it is a malady for some that isn't necessarily connected to sin. The question before us, however, is how do I overcome that sense of, I don't know that I am for sure? Because I can assure you of this, and I'm sorry, I think this is about the 17th time that I've heard use the word assure or sure. I'm pretty certain of that, that you need to try to figure out a path forward, because the Lord wants you to be sure. And I'm not talking about deodorant. I'm talking about knowing that you know, and that the benefit of that is, that's a Hebrew word that means shalom. It means to have peace. Just, it is good. I'm content. I am resting. I'm trusting your promises, even though I don't feel it. A book was sent to me, courtesy of G3 Press. Well, I got another book, so I'm sorry, I'm moody, but that's a different book for a different time. This particular book is called Resting in Sovereign Grace, How to Have Assurance of Salvation. It's written by one Joshua Banks. He's the teaching pastor at Shepherd's Rock Bible Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. Well, I do believe we're on the radio in Kingsport, Tennessee. So salute to everybody in Kingsport, especially if you're at Shepherd's Rock Bible Church. That's not a perfect test of whether a church is going to be sound, but it's a pretty good one. Not infallible. But if it has the word Bible in there, that's kind of a wink, wink. We're serious about preaching and teaching here. And he sent this book to me. I'm very grateful, because I know how many people struggle with this subject. And his focus is really so sweet. It's so sweet, and it's so needed, because I can sit here and shout at you all day, even though I'm standing. Hey, I believe God's promises. Believe God's promises. He opens them up, because the line that he is drawing in this particular book, mostly, he deals with other aspects of it, but it's the issue of sin, that we lack assurance because we sin. There are the bruised reeds, the tender ones. They commit a sin, and they just think, I'm kicked out of the club. I am no longer a member of the family. God has cut the cord. He's had enough of me. I can't possibly be a Christian if I'm sinning. And so he camps on helping us to understand the goodness of God and the expansive nature of his grace and mercy. Yes, Christian sin. No, we don't like it. But that does not mean that we are no longer a Christian. Do you know anybody who hasn't committed a sin in the last second or two or three? And that's really, this is not intended to make it worse for you if you happen to be one who sins and lacks assurance because of that transgression. But the reality is you do so much more sinning than you know. Yo, we're sinning. None of us have hope if it's based on our own righteousness. None of us. We don't have a shot at this thing. That's the whole point. And what does that cause you to do? It causes you to recline, to lean back into God's grace, recognizing I'm not going to get this done. There is nothing I can do. There is no way that I can pull myself up by my bootstraps. Woe is me, I'm undone. But thanks be to God who gives us his son, who overcame sin and death by rising from the grave and defeating death and making sure that we can have assurance that we are assuredly his. I just wanted to try to hit 30 with a number of sure references close. From the book called Resting in Sovereign Grace, How to Have Assurance of Salvation. Because of the continued presence of sin, many may begin to question their salvation. Because of the continued presence of sin, we believe that we must do certain deeds to rid ourselves of sin so that we can feel secured. Does that strike a note with you? Does that sing to how you feel on the inside about you and your sin? You commit one, you got to do something to make it up. You've got to give it time. You give yourself a spiritual timeout because you don't think God would want to have anything to do with you besides, I don't know that he even likes me anymore. So I'm just not going to deal with this and I'm going to give it time. Look for the Bible verse that says time cleanses you of your sin. You also need to look for the Bible verse that suggests that Christians will be perfect on this side of the veil. The author writes, we all, and I mean every single person who has ever been saved and united to Christ, that's where your hope is. It's outside of you, not inside of you. Your hope is based on his not sinning, not your not sinning. Your hope is based on another, because you're united to him and you're safe. You're safe. Back to Joshua Banks, who said, every single person who's ever been saved and united to Christ has continually battled sin and is never perfected in this life. We still have the remnants of corruption in us. Read Romans chapter 7. Read about the struggle that Paul had. A quote from the 1689 Second London Baptist Confession, version 7-61a. So just to make sure we're on the same theological page here, sums it up. Here's the reality. Quote, this sanctification is throughout in the whole man, yet imperfect in this life. There abides still some remnants of corruption in every part, whence arises a continual and irreconcilable war. The flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And from a different chapter in the LBC, this faith, although it be in different degrees and may be weak or strong, yet is in the least degree of it different in the kind of nature of it, as is all other saving grace, from the faith and common grace of temporary believers. And therefore, here comes, though it may be many times assailed and weakened. Are you assailed and weakened? Listen up. Yet it gets the victory. Growing up in many to the attainment of a full assurance through Christ, who is both the author and finisher of our faith. Your faith is weak? Oh, you have no idea how weak it is. Mine too. All of ours. Mustard seed looks like a mountain compared to my faith. because we don't have nearly enough faith. But it's not the amount of our faith that saves. It's the object of our faith that saves. And if you've repented, you've put your trust in Jesus Christ, you have His word that proclaims mine, and you're going nowhere. Even your sin won't separate you from the love of God. Someday, if you're one who struggles with assurance, take on a piece of paper and write down all of the things that you think might be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, and then read the verse again. Nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that includes the entire list, because the list can have a lot of things. The in-laws, they can't separate you from the love of God. Your doubts can't separate you from the love of God in Christ. Your puny faith can't separate you from the love of God. And your sin cannot separate you from the love of God, because I did a word study on this. The word nothing means nothing. And it's not based on you. And that is wherein lies your assurance. Resting in sovereign grace, how to have assurance of salvation, Joshua Banks. The author wants you to have it, and so does God. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. And then when you're struggling with temptation or you don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, they just say, hey, try harder, pray more. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, thanks for nothing. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at fortisplus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Dr. Tyson's going to give you real answers from the Bible. Not cliches, not go figure it out for yourself, but actual steps that will tell you and teach you how to fight sin with Scripture, how to live with purpose instead of just reacting to whatever happens. Here's the best part. He's going to start with the gospel, so you're not trying to earn God's approval. You're going to be living from His approval. It's on Fortis Plus, on demand. You can watch whenever you want the Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's free, because Fortis Plus is free. Hey, if you're tired of guessing what manhood looks like, just go watch it right now. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org. Your son asked to use your cell phone yesterday, and for just a split second, your heart stopped. And it wasn't because of what you thought he might find. You're careful about that, but because of what you knew he wouldn't find. Evidence of a man actually living for Christ. See, our kids don't care about our Sunday morning Christianity. They watch us when we think no one's looking. They notice when Dad disappears into his office and locks the door. What if your son could actually see a father who's genuinely free? A dad whose private life matches up with his public faith. That's not a fantasy, it's an actual reality, because men experience that transformation every day when they stop trying to manage their sin and let Christ kill it instead. Todd Frill's Play the Man shows you exactly how that works. There's no gimmicks, there's no quick fixes. It's just full of biblical truth about how God transforms men. Play the Man by Todd Frill. It's available right now as an audiobook, an ebook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Hey, look, some battles, they're just too important to lose. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, here's something that I've noticed, and maybe you have too, but it's really easy for us to treat our faith sometimes like a category. As Sunday is Sunday, work is work, parenting is parenting, and somewhere in there you try to be a Christian, but it doesn't always feel like it's all connected. That's why Dr. John Krotz and his podcast Integrated is so incredibly important. Dr. Krotz is a pastor, he's an author, he's a biblical counselor, and he's a Fortis Institute fellow and the host of Integrated, and he is helping people see how Scripture speaks to every part of their life. Not just the spiritual stuff, but the practical, everyday, how do I actually live this stuff out stuff. And if what we're doing at Fortis Institute has been a source of encouragement for you, I want to ask you to consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us continue producing content just like Integrated that connects the dots. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out how to join us. Wretched, amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. Nehemiah is the continuing story of exiles returning from Babylonian captivity. In this book, the people rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and renew the covenant under the leadership of Nehemiah. Despite opposition, the wall is rebuilt in 52 days, and it's perceived as a work wrought by God. God will bless that work which brings him honor.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Assurance of salvation. Please meet your second cousin, spiritual depression. This is Wretched Radio. Not only do myriads, that's right, myriads upon myriads struggle with the issue of assurance, there is another subject that has been my experience, is also a common malady in Christendom, spiritual depression. Another book, Overcoming the Darkness, Biblical Help for Spiritual Depression by one Nate Pickowitz. Go ahead and say it with me. Nate Pickowitz, but it's got a CZ. Pickowitz. That's got to be some like Eastern European sort of affair. Pastor Nate, he's a faithful shepherd, and he's actually a friend of mine to boot. He's the pastor of Harvest Bible Church. Oh, there it is again in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire. Okay, if he has any clout, he's got to talk to the city council about that name. Just think of the money they could save on signage. Just think of all of the people who might find it if they could actually remember so much. Gilmanton Iron Works. That sounds like a factory, yes, not a exactly. town. Nevertheless, he's written a bunch of books. How to Eat Your Bible, I think, might be my favorite. In other words, how to meditate on scripture, how to consume it and wring it of all of its vitamins. This particular book is written from a place that he knows. Spiritual depression. Please take my word for it. Nate is a brother. Okay, it's not like he's a weak believer. It's not like, well, it's theology. You know, I can understand he'd have spiritual depression. He's not exactly where I am theologically. No. This guy's stout. Listen to what he writes. I've struggled with anxiety and depression for as long as I can remember. It has been a constant, unwanted companion for decades. In grade school, I frequently got so anxious, my teacher would send me to the nurse's office to lie down and catch my breath. Sounds like a panic attack. Worry followed me around like a stalker, rarely leaving me alone. And so I can relate. I know what it's like to feel so hopeless you don't want to get out of bed in the morning. I've experienced the bottomless pit of worry in my stomach that gnaws away at my soul and never relents. This sounds awful, honestly. And if you don't have this, let none of us brag that we don't. Because this rascal, I know the distinction between the mind and the brain, but there is something about this where genuinely mature believers like Nate or Charles Spurgeon will experience blue, dark feelings. And it is not from lack necessarily of spiritual disciplines, necessarily. Now, as Nate is going to point out, a lot of times it is. But it's just something that just, for some people, it's just, whoa, what is that? Stalker. It's spiritual depression. Nate had it big time. Quote, I've been racked by fits of debilitating anxiety so severe, I thought I was having a heart attack. And so he seeks to help those who also struggle with this, starting with a definition. Got to be careful because these days, if you go to a doctor and you say, I'm kind of bummed these days, that's all he needs to hear to write you a script. And we don't want to do the same thing. We don't want to say that we're kind of going through maybe a season where it's like, oh, I'm just, you know, with the disciplines and the means of growth, and I just, you know, I'm not as enthused about church as I know I should be. Be careful that you don't automatically conclude you have a case of spiritual depression. We need to have a definition. Nate is going to provide it. We might define spiritual depression as the prolonged and pervasive numbing, muting, suppressing, or restraining of the joy of the Lord within the life of the Christian believer. Okay, so maybe not being on a mountaintop, you shouldn't automatically conclude you've got spiritual depression. But if you've been in a valley robbed of joy for a longer season, you say, how long is that season? I say, Nate didn't identify the number of days, minutes, and hours, nor would I. But it's been going on longer than you probably know that it should. The words prolonged and pervasive are the key. It's not an isolated experience or just having an off day. It's not just life is hard right now. You got two kids under 20 months and it's like, no, you're just, that's not spiritual depression. That's just life. It's not that that's difficult right now. A strained relationship at the office. That's not spiritual depression. Those are external forces. Nate writes, we're considering the experiences of unceasing worry, elongated sadness, unrelenting fear, pervasive melancholy, persistent depression, and inconsolable despair. Now, we're talking spiritual depression. Those words are pretty dramatic, aren't they? More help from Nate. Most people experience normal stresses and sadnesses, then they can encourage their own heart or wait for the event to pass. The spiritually depressed Christian does not feel like they have the ability to pull themselves out of it on their own. Like they've fallen into a deep, dark pit. Stuck. I'm trapped. I can't get out of this. I'm never going to experience the joy of the Lord. That would indicate you might have spiritual depression. Short of that, be careful. He then goes on to create categories. This is a helpful book, Overcoming the Darkness, Nate Pickowitz. It's a Moody Press book. He talks about specific causes, and we're not going to go through them. You'll have to read the book for it, but I think it might resonate with all of us and might help us to help others. Because if you don't ever struggle with spiritual depression, just like those who lack assurance, you know somebody who does. It's just reality. And I wish I could recall the quote from J.C. Ryle that I think applies right now regarding Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea kind of shows up out of the blue, and theologians debate when the man actually got saved. Regardless of whether it was early, D.A. Carson said it was. R.C. Sproul thought, no, it was probably the crucifixion that was closer to the time. Regardless, who is Joseph of Arimathea? Where did he come from? He was a small D disciple, but he was a member of the Sanhedrin, so he wasn't schlepping around Israel with Jesus. But it seems that he at the very least had interest, and then all of a sudden the man bursts out of the closet. I'm a Christian. I want the body of Jesus, said he to Pontius Pilate, risking it all. And J.C. Ryle's commentary was, we got to be careful that we don't see Christians not performing tasks as many or as well as we do and conclude they're not a Christian, because there are, I'm not sure it's a great term, but there's active and passive Christians, that they're those who just kind of wait to be called on. They wait to reveal themselves. And I think that we need to be mindful of that and not be as perhaps critical as we might be inclined to be of others. And ditto when it comes to the issue of spiritual depression. I just don't think that we should be critical of these folks. I think we need to help them, and maybe these categories will. It could be spiritual laziness, spiritual starvation, open rebellion. You're sinning. It could be spiritual confusion. It could be faithlessness, not lacking of all faith, but just faith is it's weak. You need to go to the spiritual gym and get it some exercise. It is imperative to identify the exact causes. Now, those are specific causes. The second category that he gives, and he does this by chapter, super organized. I wish I could organize like this. He has six broad causes. Here they are. Calamity can trigger this. Opposition, long-standing affliction, melancholy, fear, anxiety, persistent sins, all could be causes of the reason that you are in a spiritual funk. He provides a really nice, helpful guide. It's a chart that I like. And he gives then the encouragement in the scriptures. So let's just say, you've got spiritual starvation. You just aren't feeding yourself. What do? You study and pray. Here's some scriptures that will help you. Psalm 119, Colossians 3:16, Joshua 1:8. Super helpful. If you think this is the problem, here then is the solution for it. Do these things. And then the conclusion of the book is super helpful because it shows discipline, arrow, obedience, arrow, holiness, arrow, peace, arrow, joy. In other words, you start doing these things, start obeying the Lord, you're going to be progressing in holiness, which will produce peace, which then ultimately bears the fruit of joy. And the book will walk you through it. Do you struggle with spiritual depression? If you don't, you know somebody who does. And perhaps this book by Nate Pickowitz, don't even ask me to spell it. Okay, fine, I will. N-A-T-E Pickowitz, P-I-C-K-O-W-I-C-Z, Overcoming the Darkness, Biblical Help for Spiritual Depression, because the Lord doesn't want you to lack assurance, and the Lord doesn't want you to be lacking joy. I come that you might have life and have it abundantly. That's what your Savior wants for you. This is Wretched Radio.